Today's episode of The Thriller Zone is sponsored by Blackstone Publishing and the brilliant new techno thriller 4 Minutes by the number one internationally best-selling author duo, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. 4 Minutes is available now from your favorite bookseller.
Hello and welcome to The Thriller Zone. I'm your host, David Temple. So glad you have joined us. Today's guest is David Darling. He has written a book called Edge of Time. Now, I got up this morning with some thoughts rolling around in my head. And I thought, I'm going to do something a little bit different for this bonus episode Friday. So I'm recording this with David on Thursday the 20th. It will drop on Friday the 21st. This booth behind me, if you're a fan of the show, knows that's my voiceover booth. So this morning, I just got up, walked in there, and kind of gave some thoughts off the top of my head. So if you will spare an extra 9.5 minutes, here's what I have to say.
I want to share something kind of personal with you. And I think I'm going to start doing this more often than not on my shows. I love the fact that the Thriller Zone interviews the best writers in the world. You've got a front row seat to the best thriller, mystery, suspense writers in the world. If it's, you know, scripts, books, TV, film, you got it. I also want to get a little more personal from time to time and just share some thoughts about my journey as we go through this writing community. This morning, after I prepared for David's appearance, I sat down and was knuckle deep in Don Winslow's book, City of Dreams. And yeah, if you followed me on social media, you know I'm a big Don Winslow fan. Fortunately, we've been able to develop a friendship on the outside. But that started with just a deep admiration of a man and his talent. And Don is an amazing talent. I have followed authors through the years. I can remember back some of my absolute favorites. I mean, sure, you got the Raymond Chandlers in that era. And then later, it was Michael Crichton with his vast knowledge and curiosity. Elmore Leonard was always one of my favorites because of his brevity and succinctness. And those are the first that come into my mind. I mean, Lawrence Block with that Bernie Rodenbaugh series. And there's so many more. But something about Don's book, and I don't even recall the very first one. Could have been Gentleman's Hour, Dawn Patrol, The Force, the Cartel series, his book of short stories. City on Fire came along, and I went, wow, he's kind of congealed his whole style into this magnificent book. Then I opened City of Dreams, and I thought, just when you didn't think it could get any better, it does. And folks, I don't get anything for talking about this. Of course, there's no kickbacks. There's no favors done. It's just deep admiration, like I have for all my writer friends. I mean, whether you're a brand new beginning writer, maybe you're a self-pub guy or gal, or you've got 20 New York Times best-selling books under your belt. Doesn't matter to me. I love a great story. And even more, I love the art of conversation. Man, there's nothing that gets me more jazzed than somebody who shows up on this Thriller Zone podcast and just wants to play in my sandbox. Sure, we're here to talk about your book. Absolutely. I want to do everything in my power to help you as an artist thrive and to get that book out to the world. I'm lucky. I get to do exactly what I want to do. I don't have to do this. I love doing this. It's my roots in radio back when I was 16 years old, training to be on the radio. That's when the love started, and it's never left. Podcasting is my true passion. Writing is too, but nothing quite like a podcast. Anyway, back to Don. This book is magnificent. It hits on all 8 cylinders. Or if you're a 10-cylinder guy, it's knocking on 10. It's just supreme. But here's the thing I want to get at. This morning, over breakfast, early, while the sun was still coming up, and I'm reading it, and I'm admiring it, and I'm loving it, I stop, and for a brief second, this is what I think. Man, I got no business writing. Right? I mean, You could call that insecurity, false bravado. I don't know. I mean, I love to write. I got nine books under my belt. They're all self-pubbed. They're okay. They're nothing to write home about. The fact that I took my very first one and turned it into a film, that's pretty cool. Pretty freaking cool. Especially when you think about how long it took and how much money. But that's not the point. I started writing because I just love telling stories. And I sat down one day and said, I think I can do this. And I did it. And then I thought, I can do it again. And I did it again. And I kept doing it. And I will continue to do it. And I will hone that craft to the best of my ability. I promise you that. I'll go to conferences, take classes, study books. But mostly, I'll sit down and practice. I'll write a little bit every day. I don't care if it's a friggin' sentence. If I get out one sentence a day, I'm happy. Sure, I like to hit 1,500 to 2,000 words a day. Who doesn't? Sometimes it's a couple of paragraphs. There have been days on a Saturday morning with coffee brewing that I had an idea, and in the early morning sunlight would sit down and bang out a paragraph, maybe even a page. Look at it, date it, put it in a folder, and sit on it for another time. And invariably, if it was any good, I'd come back to it and develop it into a further story. That's how The Poser started. I had the idea for the very first sentence, which never changed. Very first paragraph, very little change. Spun off into a two-book series. Anyway, so when I'm reading City of Dreams, I'm thinking, this guy, Don, is just so, so brilliant. Now, if I said this to his face, you'd go, yeah, Dave, well, I've been at it a long time. Or, you know, I was an overnight success. It only took me 25, 30 years. Yeah, I get it. But man, I admire talent. And in those wee hours of the morning, I thought, geez, should I even try to compete? Now, granted, I'm no Don Winslow. I'll never be a Don Winslow. I don't want to be Don Winslow. I want to be David Temple, or whatever pen name I come up with. So all of this is to say, as I bare my soul on the microphone, just be you. Just do yourself. Do the thing that ticks in. I just believe that everybody has a voice. And if that voice is to be heard, you will develop it and hone it and practice it and polish it. And someday, somewhere, somebody is going to read it and go, whoa, who's this? He's a storyteller. I've made friends with a guy named Anthony, and our friendship across the miles has developed pretty magnificently. And the guy is a hell of a writer. Hasn't even broke out yet. Hasn't even broken out, I guess is the proper English. But the guy is right there on the crispy crust, on the edge, on the precipice of becoming one of the greats. And I told him that recently. I'm sure he shrugged it off, but I think deep down inside he knows I mean it. All of this, once again, is to say, if you have something to say and you have the passion to say it and you have the tenacity to chase it and you have the discipline to hone it, you need to sit your fat little or skinny or beautiful or ugly, whatever your ass is, sit the ass in the chair, put your fingertips on the keyboard, and run with reckless abandon toward the story you want to tell. There you have it. All right, enough of me rambling. I just wanted to get that off my head. I stepped in here in the booth and I thought, I'm just going to bang it out and see, you know, maybe it resonates with you, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't really matter. I just wanted to share it with you. I don't share enough about what goes inside my head, probably enough, that I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it right now. So this could be a little preamble before David Darling, or it could just be its own standalone micro episode. Because really, at the end of the day, one thing I love doing is talking and talking with people. The art of the conversation, as I mentioned moments ago, that is one more beautiful thing. And boy, in this world of streaming services, where we're watching one show after the other, whether it's any good or not, because it's basically taking up time, or we're there on a bus or in a cab or in a car, we're on vacation, when we're scrolling past the screen, scrolling, looking at other lives, wishing we had those dreams living in our lives. If we would just stop and just slow the hell down and say, you know what, I only got so much time on this little 10 planet, I best get going. And yeah, this burns a hole in my head from time to time, because I think I've got another nonfiction book in me that I'm going to jump on at the minute I finish this current one, which I cannot wait to share with you. It has nothing to do with the thriller world, so maybe you won't be interested, but the other one is right up everybody's alley, and it basically has to do with time and how little time we have left and how much we should cherish every stinking minute of it. I've now lost two parents, many distant relatives, my favorite dog in the whole wide world, and I realize that we're all just hanging by a thread, a teeny tiny little single thread. And the difference is how we use it. And we got to enjoy it. I mean, come on. If you're walking and seeing the blue sky and smelling that fresh air and you're on your own two legs and enjoying your life, you are blessed indeed. All right, I feel like I'm Reverend Temple here. And my dad already filled those shoes a long time ago, rest his soul. So I'm going to leave that to him. Folks, you make it a great day. And at the end of this thing, we're either going to roll into David Darling or we're going to roll into David Temple's own little micro episode here on the Thriller Zone. And maybe you'll feel like you picked up a little something from me. And if you have any thoughts about it, I'd love to hear from you. You know my website's thethrillerzone.com. You know the email is thethrillerzone@gmail.com. Doesn't get much easier than that. You know where to find me. Twitter @ThrillerZone, @TheThrillerZone, and on Instagram @TheThrillerZone. So it's hard not to find me. If you want to say something, shout out. If not, that's all good too. But I do appreciate you listening. I do appreciate you being there. I do appreciate you just caring. If you're a writer, get out there and write. If you're a reader, get out there and read. If you're a dreamer, bust loose on some dreams and enjoy the ride. Bam.
That may or may not be included. You know, sometimes I reserve the right to do whatever the hell I want because it's my show.
I know that. I'm very good with that. That's fine, Dave.
And welcome to the Thriller Zone, David Darling.
Well, thank you very much for having me, David.
You can call me sweetheart. If I'm going to say David Darling, you got to say David sweetheart. And then we'll just it's the love fest, right?
Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Do you prefer Dave or David?
I like David myself. Yeah.
Okay.
When I refer to myself, I always use Dave. I don't know why. I guess it's who the hell knows why. See this book here, ladies and gentlemen, Edge of Time? We're going to be talking about it. Also, David, I don't do this often. And you, if you don't want this, you just tell me to go bite myself. But I got a couple of tidbits, a little insights I would be happy to share with you if you would like them after the show that has to do with the basically formatting things.
Yes, I am up for literally everything. However, that is a rough copy and things have been revised 5 times since that edition in your hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, D is legit.
Yeah, putting the effort in now, so it'll pay off later.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. I want to say this out of the gate. I went back and checked my Twitter factory, my little bluebird chat box, whatever bullshit that means. It was November 16th of 2021 when we were first really kind of talking on the twit. The book was Great Choices, and you sent it to me. And it's here in the room somewhere amidst my 2,000 books. But sorry we never got to that, but we are getting ready to get to Edge of Time shortly. So, dude, we've been talking for 2 years.
That's kind of crazy, actually. Yeah, multiple platforms from YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and now podcast.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And not to blow smoke up your skirt, I don't think you're wearing one, but I want to say that you are one of the most, I guess the best word is to say, loyal fans. I mean, you take loyalty to a new level. You're always encouraging. You're always retweeting. You're always building up the community. And I'm telling you something, and this is coming from my heart. I think that's one of the single reasons you're going to launch, because you see the big picture. You're not just out there banging the words. You're really invested in the community. I appreciate that.
Well, first, not a problem. And you're right about one thing. It is a community. And writers talking about reviews, podcasts, even book releases, everything. And everybody comes together for that event. And that's part of the community that I've really enjoyed. As well as an author, as you can tell, I love to read as well.
Sure.
But I enjoy your shows and your interviews with writers because you don't ask them just normal questions. You ask them stuff about writing as well. So as an author, man, I've taken some notes, you know, when you're talking to the big guys and how do they do things? Are they pantsers? Are they plotters? What goes on? It's such a relief as the new guy on the block to hear that people who are on book 30 of a series or have been doing this for 20 years have the exact same problems I have and are going through it and they deal with it too. So as a writer, boy, I can't thank you enough for those kind of questions. So it's really appreciated.
Awesome. I'm wondering if you're referencing, I was just talking to my wife, Tammy. You've met Tammy or seen Tammy on the show.
I've talked. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. We go way back.
Yeah. Well, we were talking, I think it was Bob Degoni, and I asked Bob, I want to see if this rings a bell for you. I said, Bob, do you still get nervous? Do you wonder if you still got the juice? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, but what?
Every book he said, yeah.
Right. I said, dude, you've written, 25, 30 books? And he goes, yeah, every single time. I just wonder. And I'm like, and that's what you're referring to. I think that's so cool because we think, you know, somehow, somewhere, we put people on pedestals that, truth be told, they don't need to be there. Now, you're talking to a guy who has been in and around show business, and I use show business in a broad term, since I was about 15. So I learned early on, we're all putting on our pants and wiping our cracks the exact same way. So don't get too terribly, you know, caught up in it all, because the same way you rise is the same way you fall. So, I just want to say that. Now, folks, in case you're here in the boat, that is Canada. David Hill's from Canada. What part of Canada, by the way?
I live east of Toronto in Ontario.
Okay.
So not too far from Buffalo.
Dude, one of my favorite cities in the world is Toronto.
Come on down. Next time you're back, bring the wife. I'll take my wife. We'll go out for dinner. We'll go to the CN Tower. We'll do all the corny tourist stuff that you could go to the casino at Niagara Falls. We could do all that
stuff. Yeah. There's something about Toronto. Now, I don't like the winters. I'll be honest with you there. Yeah. Who does? But I did some business back a few years ago with some clients up there, and I was there many times, anywhere between Toronto and Vancouver, another fantastic city. But Toronto is neat. Toronto reminds me of, and I don't mean this in any offense to anyone in New York City, because I did two tours of duty in New York, and I loved them. But it's like a clean New York.
When they're filming here for big productions and they're filming up and down the streets and it's supposed to be a location in the States, they actually bring in garbage to litter the streets to make it look more like New York. Obviously, they clean it up after. Yeah, they just did that in Matthew Quirk's novel that just went...
Station...
The Night Angel?
Night Agent.
Night Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did that on that. I got it somewhere in here too. They did that on that scene. And the only reason we knew it was filmed in Toronto was we saw Canada Post, our local mail delivery trucks drive by on the street. And a few of us caught that and we were laughing. So,
hey, I'll give you a little inside secret on how Hollywood works. That's just paper and stuff balled up. It's not actual trash in the bags. Just want you to know. In case you're wondering. All right. Listen, so we're going to get to Edge of Time, but I went looking at your website, which we're going to cover a little bit later, which is daviddarlingbooks.com. And I did not see a whole lot of about page. And I'm kind of a fanatic, as you know, about research. So I like to know about my people, my boat, my guests. So
enlighten me and my listening friends here on the Thriller Zone podcast as to what you do in your real or other life, we'll say. We'll start there.
Well, thanks, Dave. David. Some may know and some may not. I was in the Army Reserves for 17 years. And during that time, I was full-time for over half of it. And I would teach literally everything from basic training to how to drive tanks. I've polished your boots to firing the main gun of a tank. So, as well as being a crew commander. I've taught leadership courses. So that part of it, I really enjoyed. And when I wasn't doing that, I've been a letter carrier with Canada Post. So I've been the mailman. So, but when winters get pretty cold, I would go teach with the Army. And I did that for quite a long time. So yeah. I left the military in 2009 after 17 years, and it was enough. I'd been there, done it, and it was no longer enjoyable. So,
okay.
But I did tanks or an armored unit for the majority of it, and then when I moved to Ottawa in Ontario, I was in an artillery unit, 30th Field Regiment. So we're doing the howitzers, the 105 howitzers, and I was still teaching and having a great time. But when it came time to move back to the Toronto area with my wife and her job, and I said, time to hang up the boots, and I was good with that. So
yeah.
Great times, great memories, and some sort of hazy memories.
Oh, sure. So, well, first of all, thank you for serving.
Well, thank you.
And also, thank you for sharing that with me, because I never knew this. I didn't scour too deep. You should go ahead and put that on your website. Let people know. That's a proud accomplishment. And being a postal carrier, that's no easy layup. My brother used to do it, and he used to talk about it can be brutal work. I mean, it ain't for the faint of heart.
Well, the depiction of Cliff Clavin on Cheers or Newman on Seinfeld, first, it's not true. We do deliver in the rain and snow.
Right.
It's a little colder up here in Ontario sometimes. So yeah. It's hard on the body. You know, you're carrying 40, 60 pounds of mail up driveways, upstairs, downstairs, stuff like that. So
yeah.
Now that I've been there with Canada Post for going on 26 years, I've accumulated enough seniority to get a better route where I'm in a truck and I can drive to like apartment buildings and do mail rooms and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. You got to love the scenarios where the primary post is a great big multiple unit box in a complex that you don't have to go to every single door. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, we call them community mailboxes up here. So I do deliver to quite a few of those.
Good on you. Well, I want to know, when did that time come in your life? Was it as a child? Was it in the Army? Was it just more recently? When did you say, you know what, dadgummit, I got the goods. I know what I want to do. I want to be a published author.
5 years ago, I was I had shoulder surgery on my right shoulder, and I was laid up. And I have always liked to read, and so I was reading two, three books a day kind of thing. Getting right into it, enjoying it. And then I picked up a book. I had weeks and I had almost 2 months off to recover. So I was reading quite a bit. And I picked up a book, and I can't recall the author or the title right now, officially. And it was one of those did not finish. I was disgusted. I put it down and I said, you know what? That is horrible. And I go, that's, and this is a big author. So I'm like, okay, I could write a better book than that. And I had about another 7 weeks off. So I did. I switched gears and I just started writing a story. And while I drew upon my military background, my first novel on the far side there, Serve in the Shadows Recruitment, and about a guy from the 75th Ranger Unit, he is... His brother passed away, and he could still see him. His brother was a CIA operative and died during a mission. And he could still see and talk to his brother as a ghost. That was my twist. I'm not going to write a Brad Thor novel. I'm not going to write all that Mitch Rapp stuff. So I stuck with what I knew, and I awesome. Threw in a little twist there, and that kicked me off and into my career.
So Serve in the Shadows recruitment was the first one. And was that Correct. Just something, was that also, did you ever get involved in NaNoWriMo, by the way, just side note?
I did. I've tried it. It's, for those of you that don't know, that's where you write 50,000 words within the month of November.
Yeah.
And I've heard some legal problems. People are uploading their manuscripts to the official website to keep track of their word count and acknowledge that you're participating. And some people have had their work stolen or compromised or rewritten and worded. So, yes, I've participated, but I haven't really uploaded to make it official.
Well, now that is, I have never heard that, David. That's surprising and disturbing. We won't go down that rabbit hole because I don't have the facts to back it up. But
I can't back it up, but I've heard it from three different people that I thought they were good sources. So,
okay.
Is it true? I don't know. It's not like politics.
You know? Yeah, point being, what I really want to drill down on is a lot of people go, hey, how can I kickstart it? And I think perhaps my first, what I would call serious book that I decided to dig into, not to make it about me, but to share something with you, is that along the way I went, you know what? If I could shoehorn myself into a situation that would force me to stay accountable, let me see what I can do it. And I whipped one out in 30 days. And I'll tell you what, I like the pressure. Matter of fact, my very first military thriller, which is hilarious because I had nothing to do with the military, nobody in my family in the military. I know how to shoot a gun. That's about it. But I got caught up in this character, ended up writing 3 book series each November in a row going, well, let me see, I can do that again. So
perfect.
Yeah. My point being, I think it's great discipline. I really wanted to get to the word of discipline, and that's what I bet you have found out. All right, let's roll down here a second. So you've written Serve in the Shadows Recruitment. You mentioned that very first one. Tipping Point, which the Noah Hunter police procedural. Grave Choices, which became the second in the series. That's the one that you sent to me, and I haven't, gotten around to reading it. Then you got the thriller novella Grim Measures, which sounds spookily fabulous. And then, of course, Edge of Time, which is releasing this weekend. So, dude, that right there, that is what I call a body of work already. Now, that probably to you, in somewhere in your head, probably a little bit of practice, right? But you're feeling more confident with every book, aren't you?
For sure, yeah. I'm currently working on book 4 in the Noah Hunter series. Book 3, which we kind of skipped right there, is called a Course of Action. And that snuck out last April, May? I can't remember. Last year, a year ago. And I'm working on book 4. However, I've run into a couple problems, but basically I deleted 60,000 words on purpose. And then I wasn't feeling it. I didn't like the character was acting like a special ops spy, not a police officer. And while I've kept some of that material because it's really good writing, I'm going back to the turning point there, and I'm redoing that. So,
all right. So wait a minute. You told me I missed one, which I gotta beat myself up a little bit. It's not on your website though. We don't have to take the time to do that, but I'm looking at your books page right now and I do not see it, my friend. That has got me startled.
You're right. I think I deleted that to put on Edge of Time. Mm. Oh my gosh. My apologies.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to be sure I wasn't doing some screw-up. All right.
Well, now I know what I'm doing after this interview.
Okay. Hey, dude, I'm here to protect and to serve. Okay.
So, yeah, there's that theory that you have to write 1 million words before you become competent enough to be taken seriously by, A, the big hitters or the public as a whole. So 1 million words for the average novel of 100,000 words. So that's 10 books. Mm-hmm. And I've written more than that. I've got a few of them in the back pocket, just basically doing nothing. But now it's time to put some of them out, like I just have been doing.
All right. Well, this is going to jump me into my next question, because which of these were these all? How many of these were self-published, and which were or are being handled by your agent at Imagine Media Group, literary agency?
Right now, these were all self-published.
Okay.
All of them, including my novella. The novella was a test, a 30,000 word test. I had to get it up and out, and I found it successful. I've gone the gauntlet with Edge of Time. I've queried over 150 agents with it before I finally landed my current agent, and it's gone through so many revisions. I started with Ryan Steck. Me and him worked on that novel for over a year.
Wow.
And we gave it some legs, and even through him and his contacts, I've constantly heard, and up to and including last week, great story, great writing, great premise. It's just not for me.
And so, you know what? You can't, Ryan Steck, by the way, of The Real Book Spy, right?
Correct. Yes.
Got it. All right. So you don't let that in. You don't let that take the wind out of your sails, David. I got to know that about you. You just like, okay, it doesn't fit you. Moving on. Because what's the old axiom? Every no gets you closer to a yes. Correct.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So. Everybody's in this industry. You have to develop thick skin.
Yeah.
And they're coming at you, meaning this just isn't for. When somebody tells you, great story, great writing, I really enjoyed it, you had the pace correct, everything checked all the boxes all the way through, it's just not for me, you'll find somebody else. And you're sitting there and you're like, maybe this is for you, come on. Like, this is, what's wrong then? What's wrong with the story? Why aren't you, and then after a certain point, you're like, it's time to move on. It's in the past, and let's put it up and out and see where, let's focus on the next novel.
How much time have you spent around agents? And before anyone in the audience gets ready to throw something at me, be careful. But have you spent a lot of time around agents?
No.
Okay. There's a little thing that you might want to know. And again, it's just part of the business. It's like nobody wants to be like, okay, I'm going to take it this way. I was in Hollywood, 3 tours of duty. And in Hollywood, nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to say no in case you go boom, boom later and blow up and they go, oh, I was the guy that said no. So they'll always often, more often than not, perhaps, can I waffle any more about that, say, oh, man, it's so good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's right on point, solid, but not for me. So that way they can walk away a good guy, feeling good about themselves. Now they haven't helped you any per se, mm-hmm. but you just have to take that and walk away and go, that's okay. That's all right. It wasn't good for Bob or Frank or Sally or whomever, but maybe the next one. And you just keep going and you just keep refining, right? My best you piece of it. Advice there. Yeah.
Well, somebody had dropped this novel, Edge of Time. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks ago, they dropped the first 4 chapters on Tom Colgan's desk. And blew my mind because Tom emailed me on a random Sunday afternoon 4 weeks ago, long after I've planned on self-publishing this novel and getting it out, and he asked for the full manuscript.
Tom Colgan?
Yeah.
Tom editor wanted, to the stars?
He wanted the full manuscript.
Wow.
So him and a team of people read the story, and he says they passed. However, it took him and the team a while to decide because he liked my writing and he thought my voice was quite engaging and I know how to move a story along. So, you know, I take that as a win, a solid, huge win. I just can't.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom, for even considering. Like, yeah. It's just like I got nominated. It's an honor. This really was.
Yeah.
So I know how busy Tom is, and I appreciate his time. It's very valuable. So
That's rarefied air, sir. I mean, the fact that you even got allowed into the room and you took a seat for even 5 minutes is rarefied air, and you should pat yourself on the back, because I know a lot of people who would be banging on the door, camping outside the door, hoping to get in. So good for you.
Well, as long as my foot was in the door, I kind of said, well, I let him know that, you know, this novel might not be for him, And I go, but I just finished one called Signs of Anubis. I just finished it in second week of March, and it just got back from the editors, and I just finished putting some polish on it. And I'm going, well, my agent's now pitching this to publishers. And I go, if you want, here's first crack at it. I just attached it to the email and I sent it back to him. So maybe something will happen with that. Maybe not, but we'll see.
All right. Well, before we run out of time, because we're all tight on time today, let's talk about Edge of Time. Do this for me so that I don't give it away. It's a riveting read. It pulls you in. It doesn't let go like great books do. Tell me about, because I'll tell you, this guy right here, Bradley Holman, man. Tell me about Bradley. Don't give me, oh, he bought these shoes at this one store back in the day. No, give me the elevator pitch so that the listeners who are thinking about tuning out and reaching for that dial, they may go, there's a radio tune, a radio term, isn't it? Well, they'll go, wait a minute, maybe I should take a look at this book. It's dropping this weekend. Talk to me.
Okay, well, the whole premise is FBI agent Brad Holman. He's working with a farmer from the 1700s to stop a black hole from destroying the planet. And there's your pitch. And it all starts with the impossible break-in at Fort Knox. How was this achieved? And Brad Holman's the number one lead investigator with the FBI. He's a rising star. And the president brings him in with the director of the FBI for this hush-hush investigation, and it takes off from there.
How much time did you spend inside Fort Knox researching it?
You would be surprised. First, YouTube is a wonderful resource because since 9/11, there's no more tours of Fort Knox.
Right.
So, but you can download, you can see the plans for it. You can see the floor plans. There's people, there's old videos of people giving the tour up right in through the vault. Everything I wrote in there is factual, including, you know, the weight of the doors, the second vault door. The alarm systems that are built into the ground surrounding Fort Knox.
Yeah, I would have sworn you had been there. I mean, come on.
So everything's true. So like I did throughout the whole entire novel, I researched it, and if I didn't know it, I made calls. For example, the particle accelerator at this university at British Columbia. Well, 3 years ago, I made a lot of calls to British Columbia. I talked to the staff there. I talked, emailed back and forth, getting some, making sure some of the facts were correct. And I studied diagrams of particle accelerators, which is just, you know, I was the guy that had problems learning in school. And the Army taught me how to learn. Thank you. I appreciate it. So now I'm studying quantum physics on my own to make a novel.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Can you bear with me one quick second? It's over here on the floor.
All right.
All right. Don't move. Don't move. You're not going anywhere. All right. Where did I put it? It's on the floor. Here it is. I got it. I'm coming back. Here I come. Here I am. All right. I am, like you, a quantum physics nut. There is so much to the universe that we don't know, or we know a tad bit about. Mm-hmm. So I went out and bought, when I saw this New York Times bestseller, again, sorry to interrupt your book pitch, but if you haven't seen this, Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about astrophysics for people in a hurry. Do you know why this is good? Notice the size of it. It's like little snacks. It's just snack bites, and between the galaxies, black holes, quantum physics, cosmos on the table, dark energy, dark matter. David, you owe it to yourself. Again, I get nothing for that. But
I've researched the heck out of that guy, and he's pretty smart. He knows things I don't.
Pretty smart. That's like saying the sun is pretty hot.
It is. So I incorporated a lot of his theories of time, relativity, for example, a quantum bounce. What is a quantum bounce? Well, that's when a black hole is plugged up and then redirects matter and energy outward, and then possibility of forming a white hole, not a black hole. So yeah, so I studied all of this, and I incorporated a lot of it into the novel. I've tried getting a hold of Mr. Neil, but to thank them, but no, it didn't go through.
All right, here's a quick thing as we start to wrap it up. I want to know this because you have two books in the Noah Hunter series. So now you got Brad Holman coming along. So is your instinct, are you feeling more like, well, I got two in the pocket, why don't I keep going Noah? Or are you going to branch off for Brad, or are you going to go, with time, I'll just do them parallel?
I am doing them parallel, but for years, Edge of Time was going to be a standalone novel, and that's the way it was. And until about a year ago, I had an idea for book two. So I've already, I'm a third of the way through book two, and it's incredibly heavy on research, making sure the historical timeline's accurate. So I'm hoping to get that done within the year.
Okay. Quick question, because I follow you on social media, as you know, as I mentioned earlier, and especially on Twitter. You're a really good marketing guy. Now, I don't know if you have a team behind you or you have an assistant or you do it all your own, but you drip feed the streams with a little bit about your books. And I wanted to know, give me an inside secret so I know how to do it. Is your key consistency? Is your key breaking up the pattern of the media that you put out? How does it work for you?
A lot of it. Well, I'm the team. So, okay. yeah, it's nice to meet you. Yeah. And, my graphics design, I took graphics design in college, so I have a little bit of a background with that. When I showed up, I was quite good of a student. And I knew how to research certain things, like the best day to release a book is on a Tuesday. That's why you'll see this constantly throughout all the big names. It's a Tuesday. Yeah. And if you can nail Tuesday at the end of the month, that's great because your sales will bridge the month and automatically. So for April 25th is when Edge of Time comes out. It's on a Tuesday. The end of the month will keep your sales for the algorithms properly stacked. So make you more visible to the potential buyer. And there's a level of super saturating the social media with pictures and plugs all the time. If you do this 2-3 times a day, they're just going to scroll by. But if you do it maybe once or twice a week, and then instead of replying right away to, say, a Twitter post, reply in 3 days. Then you get more of a staggered effect. So it's sort of still there in the background. People are still seeing it or posting about it, but you're not super saturating, and that's
your trick. Okay, cool. By the way, I don't know where I may have said earlier. I did say earlier in the show that it was this weekend. My brain was thinking 23, but then I'm like, well, 23 isn't on a Tuesday. I know he's going to drop it on a Tuesday. So when you said 25th, I want to make sure I apologize that I.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. So Tuesday, the 25th. So I'm going to drop this show tomorrow, which is going to kick off the weekend. So hopefully this show will give you a little momentum into the weekend.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, if you're interested in pre-orders, you can pre-order the ebook anywhere from Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Chapters, Indigo, Apple Books, and then you can order the paperback copy on Tuesday from any vendor anywhere.
That's awesome. All right, as you know, you listen to the show. What's the very last thing I do with every person on here? And I'm not talking about rapid fire questions. We're not going to do that today. But what's the one thing I always ask? Best piece of writing advice.
Well, I've been thinking about that. And for me, the best piece of writing advice is, this works for me, not for everybody. I got to remain consistent. I write 2,000 words a day. I'll write a little bit in the morning and I'll write a little bit at night, but it has to be every single day. If not, you'll find excuses to put it off and you'll never get it done. Oh, I'm just going to sleep in. It's Saturday. Nope. My alarm goes off at 5 o'clock and I'm downstairs making coffee, 5:05. I'm typing at 5:15. It might not be the best work, but you can't fix nothing. So you write something.
Dude, that is so solid. And something I did not tell you, I stepped into this booth behind me earlier this morning before you and I came on. And what I recorded is going to launch this episode, because it was every once in a while I get this thing in my head. I mean, my podcast is always about talking to you and promoting your book and making the whole thing about you. But I realized this morning as I get up real early like you, either 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm like, you know what? Some things were rolling around in my head. I'm like, I'm going to start sharing more of what's inside my head on the podcast instead of just always being about books. Because I said, you know, maybe people want to know kind of how the soup is made. So, and I wasn't sure I was going to do it, but now sure I am, because you've just said about three things that I mentioned in this little, I'm going to call it you could call it a tirade. It's off the cuff, whatever it is. It's about 11 minutes. So it's going to kick off this show. And it's just something that kind of came to me when I was reading Don Winslow's new book, City of Dreams.
Ah, nice.
Which is just friggin' rock solid. So I'd say all that to say you're doing exactly what I'm talking about. You want to be a writer? You got to put your ass in the chair. You got to put your fingertips on the keyboards. You got to put in the time. I don't want to feel like it. Well, maybe you want to feel like it. Maybe you want to feel like some success. So maybe you should get your butt moving.
Well, you know that saying. If you aim for nothing,
you'll hit it every time.
You're going to hit nothing, right? Your father's quote. Yeah. So, you know, I never knew my father, but we had Wayne Gretzky, and he said, you'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah. Dude, thank you for remembering that. That was so awesome. My dad, he left me with a couple of gems. Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, DavidDarlingBooks.com is where you can learn more about The Edge of Time and all his other good books. And David, I am so glad we finally carved out the time. My apologies for it taking so long, but man, it has been a freight train. Like the train was coming, I grabbed onto the bar and it kept going, and I'm just making up.
It's all good. Well, thank you very much for having me, and all the best to Tammy and yourself for everything that you've been putting out on this show. As a viewer and a friend of the show, I appreciate it.
Well, I thank you for that. I'm humbled by that. And you're one of the few people that get onto YouTube, which is now the Thriller Zone branded, and get on there and make a little comment when something really affects you. And I try to say this throughout the podcast, like either in the open or the close, hey folks, thanks for listening and drop us an email and swing by and subscribe. And sometimes I feel cheesy doing that, like I'm begging for something. But really, if it wasn't for people like you who took the time to do that and raised the algorithm, if you will, for YouTube world and let people know more about it, I'd be sitting in that booth talking to myself. So thank you.
Not a problem.
Anyway, so we're going to scoot off. Folks, once again, DavidDarlingBooks.com. David, I'll see you on social media. This show will drop on Friday. Thank you for your time, your patience. And man, I wish you the best. You got tenacity to spare.
Thank you very much.
Thanks once again to David Darling and his book, Edge of Time. Fun time. Always nice to see artists that are right there on the cusp, getting ready to break out. I love helping them in any way I can. Thanks, David, and good luck. Now, I would love to tell you who's going to be on next week's show, but that has not been completely confirmed yet. So you're going to have to just bear with me and know that you need to show back up for it. Also, thank you for your patience at the beginning of the show. In case you hung around for that little soliloquy, tirade, little chit-chat I had at the beginning. Anyway, just some thoughts on my top of my head. Thought you might enjoy. Either way, I am so grateful for you always being there, helping us to become one of the fastest growing podcasts in the world. We provide the front row seat to the best thriller, suspense, mystery writers in the world, whether it's books, TV, movies, we love having them right here on the show. And I promise you this, as we roll into the next season, which will be 5, coming up in July, into our second year, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to broaden our base a little bit and meet people behind the scenes making the movies based upon the books that we read. Going to be very exciting. One last thing, if you do me a favor, stop by thethrillerzone.com. That's our website. Take a look around, drop us an email, put a little recording there on the red button on the right-hand side of the screen. Leave us a message, say hi, or go to your favorite podcast channel, Apple, Google, you name them. You know who they are. Leave us a review. Leave us a review if you wouldn't mind. And of course, lastly, YouTube channel, youtube.com/thethrillerzone. great place to see the show in case you'd like to watch it. And if you just simply hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, bing, they'll let you know when the next episode is coming. It helps us to grow, helps YouTube know that people are paying attention. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'm David Temple, your host. I'll see you next time for another edition of The Thriller Zone.
The Thriller Zone has been presented by Blackstone Publishing and the exciting new techno thriller 4 Minutes, now available from your favorite bookseller. Learn more at blackstonepublishing.com.